Hello and welcome to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you all doing? How are you all living? I hope you're all doing well. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, we appreciate you for checking out the show. On the show this week, I've got friend of the show, I've got Matt of the band Miles From Home. Miles From Home are a Welsh-based metal band. They released an album last year called Damned by Disease. It is absolutely great. And it is actually produced by Padge of Bullet for My Valentine. We get into all about how that happened. We just have a really good, wholesome conversation just about life, about music, and it's just really, really fun. And I want to do a massive shout out to Matt for reaching out and asking if you'd like to come on the podcast and things. And I was like, absolutely, I'd love to have you on the show. And he's been a fan of the show for a while. So it's just nice to sit down and connect. So that was super cool. If you want to help support the show financially, you can by going to patreon.com/NevermindPolyPodcast. Alternatively, you can just share our stuff on social media. Give us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcasting platform. But until then, this is my conversation with Matt of the band Miles From Home. Let's get to it. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And it is my absolute pleasure to bring you this episode this time around. I've got the vocalist of the band Miles From Home. I've got Matt on the line. How are we doing, sir? How's things?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm very good, mate. I'm very good. So for those of you who are unaware of who Miles From Home are, we're going to get into all of that in just a moment. But me personally, I've been following the band and following your progress as a band for a little while now. And I've two okay. things I want to bring up with you, sir. The first of which is football. Because as we record this, Arsenal, your beloved Arsenal, are playing Brentford in the FA Cup third round today. So props for firstly doing that, doing this while the stats go on in like 45 minutes. So props for that. And secondly, you're a good lover of memes. I was looking through your Facebook thing, your personal, you got some cracking memes on there, son.
Yeah, so, I love a meme. I love a meme. I try to keep it a little PG sometimes, but when I've had a few drinks, if I see something that's absolutely hilarious, I just can't help myself. I just have to share it.
That's the thing. That's basically, so not that anyone has ever cared or wondered, but like I have my private Instagram, like my personal Instagram, and then I have my podcast one. There's a very good reason. All the risky kind of memes go on the personal ones. go on my story. Everyone's like, I'll usually get a message of someone who, like, you know, just a friend or whoever could take that down immediately. You are an absolute idiot for sure. And it's nothing
it's
like
family members.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. When you get a family member, like I didn't know you spoke like that. And you're like, next time I'll make sure I'll edit it so you can't see it. But
absolutely. I wanted to bring up football first of all because I know very little about football, but I know how big and important football is. What's your prediction for the match? This isn't going to go out till November, so you know Arsenal might have won it at this point. I'm not sure how the football pyramid thing works, but how are you feeling ahead of the match?
Not too bad. It's not that important of a game, to be fair. I think because we're doing quite well recently, so I think we want to focus on like the league. So I think we're going to be playing a lot of our second string and younger sort of players today, so I'm not too stressed. A win's a win, but if we lose, you know, just get on with it.
Absolutely. I have a friend who will remain nameless on the podcast. If he does listen, he'll know exactly I'm talking about him. So he's a diehard Norwich City fan, and he gets very upset if Norwich City lose. And it will literally like make or break his day. So I totally get it. I respect it. But it's one of those things. But one thing that I do know that we both have in common is music and a love for music. So I wanted to talk obviously about that and stuff. So I wanted to start basically at the beginning because that's a good place for every good story and things. So where does Miles From Home, the band, begin? Talk me through the process, how that all came to be.
I think it was December 2014, so quite a while ago now. I was just chilling. I had a message from a guy from college that I'd only met for about a month. And he messaged me because we were doing music in college. He essentially just messaged me saying, "You seem really dedicated. Do you want to start a band?" And I was like, Yeah, sure. I've been looking to start a band for a while. Turns out he was an incredible drummer. So, and they're quite hard to find these days.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we just he came over my house then about a week later. We wrote two tracks, one of which got to third in the Apple Music charts.
Amazing,
So
nice.
yeah, we were quite happy with that. It all started going quite well. We had another one that got in the charts as well after that, and then everyone just went off to uni, and I was sort of left as the only member. Everyone just sort of left. So yeah, I had to build it back up from the ground again, really. But we've got an incredible band at the minute. I mean, we recently had a drummer and a guitarist leave, but we've got a new drummer and hopefully a new guitarist coming in very shortly, which we'll be announcing soon. But yeah, I mean, we put out an album last year. We recorded that with Padge from Bullet,
Amazing.
which was an experience. It, honestly, he's for a guy who's made it so far in music, he's one of the most humble people you'll meet. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, we're looking to push on now. I think this is 2024 is the year where we're, looking to put out another record, tour, do some tours. We got some new merch coming as well. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of the story of the band, really. We're just I think we're in the part of the band now where we'll sort of do everything we can next year to make it to the next sort of phase.
Absolutely. There is so much to unpack there in the first 30 seconds of this podcast. So I don't I'm really, really conscious, right, to not stereotype these things, right? Because you are by your very accent a Welsh-born man and things like that, and I don't know why, and I know that Wales is such a vast country. I do understand that any Welsh people don't come for me, right? But also, it does kind of feel like everybody sort of knows
Knows
everybody
each
because you
other.
speak, yeah. Because Padge, obviously, of Bullet for My Valentine fame, is obviously in a world-round rock and metal band and things, but also he's kind of like a homeboy, if that makes sense. In the Sorry, I'm never going to say that sentence ever again. That's so white of me to say that. But you know what I mean. He is kind of just someone who, in that kind of scene in Bridgend and stuff, is just known. And it's kind of how was that experience working with him, and how did that come to be in things?
Well, to be fair, I'd met him a few times in town, just out and about, but
I
I
mean,
never
that's
really
okay.
spoken to him. Yeah,
Just a
it
mental
was, yeah.
sentence.
I mean, the thing is, it's more rare than you think it is, but it just
Yeah, for
sounds really
sure.
bad because I know Padge now. But yeah, like I saw him a few times in town, but it was very much the sort of thing where you and your mates would be like, "Oh my God, Padge is over there." Do you know what I mean? And you wouldn't speak to him. You
Yeah,
just
for
like
sure.
look over a few times. But luckily, our drummer, well, previous drummer now, he's recently left. His father grew up with Padge and was very good friends with him.
Okay, amazing.
And one day the drummer just messaged us and said, "Our boys, Padge would be happy to do a song with us." And I was like, "Yeah, come on, that's a yeah, next joke, mate." Yeah, and then next thing you know, a few weeks later, we're in his studio, doing a track. It all went really well, and then about a week or two later, he'd said he'd be happy to do the whole album. It was
Amazing.
kind of a dream come true. That is pretty pinch yourself moment.
Absolutely. That's the thing as well. I don't want to get too kind of down this rabbit hole very quickly, but like, and again, I believe it on a kind of surface level, I guess, but the 6 degrees of separation rule, where kind of everybody is somehow connected to everybody and everybody, like, and also I'm a big believer on this podcast is basically built on the ethos of just asking, because if you don't ask, you don't get,
You don't know.
generally speaking, in life. And if you know, like, don't get wrong, there's been moments in this, like, this creation, this podcast, where I've pushed my luck so fucking hard, and it's kind of like 9 times out of 10 it's paid off. And I think, and how the fuck have we done that? Was it kind of like
You've
one of
had
those
some
moments?
big names. It was Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect it. I'll always remember where I was when he messaged us. I'd just been to co-op, picked up a few pieces, got in the car, and he was like, "Boys, I need to ring you. Padge wants to do a song." And I was like, "What are you talking about, mate? Like, we were saving up our pennies trying to go to, a big time studio, and then all of a sudden, Padge wants to do a fucking
Amazing.
album with us." Yeah, crazy, crazy, man.
Amazing. I remember on a similar tidbit, I remember I was in Wetherspoons in Norwich, and I'd messaged Liam from Cancerbats maybe like 8-9 hours before, and obviously the time difference in Canada and whatnot. So like, and then he just literally was like, "Yeah, sure, man. Does like Thursday work for you?" And I was like, "Nah, absolutely not. What is happening right now?" So it is crazy how these things happen. I wanted to touch on, because I think the musical journey and how people reach their musical journey is really interesting. Can you talk me through kind of your early musical influences as a vocalist and how you kind of came to be into the heavy scene?
Yeah, I don't think anyone really starts on the heavy stuff, do they?
You're my man, you know, because everyone's like, my favorite band was Cannibal Corpse when I was 10.
Yeah, I mean,
just wasn't.
I mean, I had three huge influences growing up. I think Papa Roach were one of them.
Amazing band, yeah.
That Infest album was, that inspired me a lot. I'd probably say Billy Talent and Rise Against were the other two bands growing up. They were my three top bands, and maybe Avenged as well. Obviously, Avenged falling there a little bit. And then I think, I don't know, like, I still remember my brother showing me a song by, I'm not sure if you've heard of Adept.
Adept. I do remember Adept. Adept.
Swedish metal band.
I'm just going to pull up on Google. Hang on a second. Yeah. You keep talking, that's fine. I'm just going to have a quick look.
Yeah. He showed me Adept, which now, funny enough, my favorite band by a long mile in my favorite band. But he showed me a song by them, and there was a lot of screaming.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to him, "I don't fucking like this. Like, don't show me this. I don't like it at all." And then I think I sort of left them for a while, and then I got into a Atreyu.
Mm-hmm. Amazing band. Yeah,
they didn't have as, you know, harsher screams. They were more, you know, like proper raw rather than the gutturals and the proper high screams and stuff like the Fry screams. And I got into them, and then it just started, you know, building up and building up. And then, you know, Adept, Ice Nine Kills, Lorna Shore, Chelsea Grin, those sort of bands are, you know, my favorite bands now.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to touch on Adept. It's Another Year of Disaster was the album I'm thinking of. And it's kind of got like the burning, I think it's like a burning church maybe, or some sort of burning like eulogies. I'm not too sure what they are.
Yeah, anyway, that's masterpiece.
That's a great fucking record. I haven't thought about them in years. So that's sick.
If you think that's a good record, honestly, listen to the rest of their music. Every album just gets better and better and better. They've got four albums.
Yeah.
But amazing. Like when someone asks me like what's their best album, they're one of those bands where I couldn't tell them. I'm like, it depends what you want. They're all masterpiece of albums, you know? So they're by far the best band for me in terms of inspiration.
I love that. And that's something I wanted to talk on as well, is the fact that obviously you've had a couple of lineup changes recently and stuff. I wanted to kind of ask, what is kind of the mood like in camp right now? Because losing kind of a bandmates, it's kind of like losing a brother and things. How has that kind of transition period been and things?
It was quite hard at first. Like the drummer and like told us basically, I think he's gone on to do vocals now, so he started a new band. He just told us that it wasn't really for him anymore. Wanted to go off and do his own thing, which is understandable. You know, I think he was pretty sick and tired of lugging drums around all the time. But yeah, and that was tough because, you know, he's been a good friend of mine for the last few years. But we were like, you know, I've done it before. I've started from scratch before. I can find new members. And then about a week after, the rhythm guitarist messaged me saying, "Hey, look, man, like we need to talk. I just don't really, my head's not in it. I don't really want to be doing music right now." Yeah. And I was like, shit, where do I go from here? So we put an advert out. You know, we got a drummer now. I won't say his name because we haven't we haven't announced him yet, but we're working with him. And we're currently going sort of interview phases for another guitarist. But we've got one that looks quite likely. But it's not confirmed yet. But yeah, it is obviously tough when you lose a member, especially when they, you know, contribute so much. Then you're thinking, we need someone who can come in, you know, with the same, at least the same music ability.
Yeah.
You know, if not more. But it's all working out now. I'm quite quite positive about it now. So
absolutely, and that's the thing as well. I don't know if I don't want to immediately like send other people off to listen to other podcasts, but there's a really great podcast series called Lifers that Ed Gamble done. And for those of you who don't know, Ed Gamble is obviously a comedian, but he's also a fucking metalhead, which is cool as fuck, like, to be honest. Yeah. And he sat down with Skindred frontman Benji Webb, and Benji kind of talked about the fact that, you know, some people are just in it for life. And that I feel like that kind of energy comes from you, where you send, like you say, you've kind of rebuilt it from the bottom up.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how long it takes you to get to where you need to be or want to be, you will get there. And I mean, look at Skindred, for example. They've done literally like 20 years of graft, and they've only now, you know, got, in my opinion, they're kind of their dues almost, if that makes sense. So it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I've got all the hope and the will in the world that Miles From Home are going to fucking absolutely smash it in 2024. I wanted to talk as well about Down By Disease, which was put out in 2021, if I've got my notes and everything correct. Is that right?
2022.
Okay, my apologies. My first question with that is, did the pandemic and COVID kind of have any kind of influence on that title? Because it makes perfect sense if it did. Whether it was just a case of symmetry, it just happened that way, or how did that all come about?
Yeah, it is literally about COVID.
Fine, I wasn't sure.
I remember because we wrote that whole record in lockdown, the entire album. To be fair, I'm very grateful for having him. Owen, our lead guitarist, he's absolutely incredible. He pretty much, through lockdown, just sent me a track every 2 weeks with all the guitars done and, you know, MIDI drums on there, so I know what I'm doing, and I just had to write the vocals. So, yeah, absolutely unreal, you know, for the band, he is. But, yeah, we wrote it all in lockdown. And then we were out having a pint a few months before, you know, we finished recording the album, and we were talking about what we should name it. And we were all a bit pissed. I was like, well, what's the concept? Like, you know, it's a lot about mental health during lockdown and the way, you know, how everyone felt locked away and, you know, it caused depression, anxiety, so many other things. And I don't know. I thought, you know, Damned by Disease, it just popped into my head. And I was like, do you know what? That has quite a nice ring to it. And it, you know, it wraps up the album. It goes with the concept. So, yeah, we just landed on that. We didn't think of anything else. Then we were like, Damned by Disease. It sounds right.
Nice. You know, nice. I was going to say, when I first started this podcast in 2020, I had obviously a co-host, Reese, the lovely Reese, on. And We bannered around some fucking terrible names. So like, I was always curious if that was the first one that stuck, or whether it was a case there was some other ones bannered about. But yeah, it was the hang. I don't think I could ever like start like a creative journey, like whether it be a podcast or an album, trying to name it, because it's like the Nevermind Polly podcast thing basically was an extension of my YouTube, which was Nevermind Matt. Because again, Nevermind is a great album by Nirvana. And also, it's a play on the fact, oh, never mind, you'll get there eventually. Like, self-deprecation. It's one of those things.
It is the hardest thing coming up with a name. Because I'll do it with a song title as well. And I'll record the demo, and then I'll listen to it for the next few days. And every time I open it up and look at the song title, I'm like, I just don't like that. It just doesn't fit right with the song. And then you sat there for ages. And the more you think about it, the harder it gets. So I think with naming stuff, I think you just need to leave it be. And when something comes into your head and it clicks, you know it's right. You know, you just go with that one. That's what we do, really.
Absolutely. And I was thinking about this the other day, actually. Like, whether there's bands, really good bands with very terrible names. Like, because there's got to be a few contenders out there. Like, my first ever, like, love in terms of, like, rock music was, like, Green Day, right? And Green Day is a terrible fucking name for a band. Like, it's, do you know what I mean? Like, when you like one of them, it's just kind of like one of those things. Like, but again, once you've started that ball rolling, you've kind of just got to rock with it. Or otherwise, it's, you know, with the age of the internet, everything's just out there.
Yeah.
Like, you can't suddenly just back down and go, oh, I'm going to change the name of my podcast. It's like, why? Like, just leave it. Like,
that's what I mean. We've thought of rebranding a few times. I mean, people always said to me, you know, you've got a completely new band. You're the only original member left. Why stick with Miles From Home? And I was like, I don't know, it just like that is me. Do you know what I mean? Miles From Home is I feel that band. It's
I mean, I have to say, like, so I had Jesse from Dream State on, and obviously everybody in Dream State but Alice like left the band, and it was a similar situation of like, well, hang on a minute, like I've put a lot of blood, sweat, tears, money, everything else into this project. Why should I lose the name of the project? Like, do you know what I mean? It is, like you say, Miles From Home is you, and that makes perfect sense. I wanted to, again, I'm trying not to stereotype. So, are you from Wales? Please don't come for me. Bridgend and Wales in general has got such a rich history of rock and metal bands coming through. We've obviously talked about Bullet for My Valentine, like that's the Skindred, like Blackout back in the day. That band we're not allowed to talk about, but who did write some good albums, who's got a very potentially dodgy, no, potentially, it's the wrong word, man, not potentially, he's a
Not
cunt.
potentially.
He's a cunt. We're just going to throw out
He's a
Saris.
cunt, yes.
But they writ some good records and things. Less said about them, the better. But what's the scene like in 2023?
It's good. There's some quality bands that we play gigs with. Like, we're very good friends with a band called Sydney Fate. I'm not sure if you heard of Sydney Fate.
I'm not too familiar. Yeah, for sure.
Check them out because they're incredible. They're a great bunch of guys as well. And we're looking to potentially tour with them next year.
Amazing.
But yeah, the scene's starting to build up because I think for a while the South Wales scene sort of died down a little bit, and they were looking for bands to take that spot.
Yeah, of course.
Because growing up, the scene for me in South Wales was always From Her Eyes, Fallen With Style, obviously Lucas from Holes and Absence's old band. But yeah, and then after they sort of disbanded, there was just a huge gap. And that was funny enough when I started Miles From Home. I was like, I see a gap here. We could be one of the big South Wales bands,
Nice, absolutely. I can't believe as well I didn't mention Funeral for a Friend or Holding Absence. I mentioned the unmentionable band. What the fuck? It's fucking double click. Anyway, doesn't matter. We're moving past it. It's all good. I wanted to ask as well. This is a question I asked a lot of bands in 2023 because I think it has garnered some really good responses. Where is the weirdest or the strangest place you've played a show or attended a show yourself personally?
Oh, I've heard you ask this question to quite a few people because I've watched quite a few episodes of
Oh,
your
thank you very
podcast.
much.
No problem. Oh, that's really tough. I think I've got I'd say for playing one, we played a place in Swansea years ago now, and this was with the old lineup, and basically the sound wasn't working in the main room that we were meant to play on the stage. And the only way we could play that show is by going upstairs again, which was like this tiny like attic.
Right, for
And
sure.
it was the most odd gig ever because there was like 8 or 9 people in there because no one could fit in there. And
Yeah,
we were just
amazing.
crammed in. I was right in front of the kit, just crammed in trying to sing like this. So I think that's probably the most odd venue I've played.
Nice.
But I mean, I can't really think of any others. Yeah, it'd have to be that. It'd have to be that.
Absolutely. It kind of I had a recollection of a really it was a really good gig. I went to Outbreak Festival in Manchester this year, and they've recently started uploading the videos and stuff onto YouTube, which if you're into the hardcore scene is fucking great festival. But it's just basically in this massive cavernous warehouse, right? But the thing is, there's no fucking ventilation, and it's just literally 3 days of just sweaty hardcore bands. And people just like, and honestly, it was about fucking 30 degrees outside. And I just can remember it, like, I was watching the Code Orange setback, right? And I was watching, it's like, I can almost like recall the taste on my tongue of like just sweat and just fucking
Sweat,
black and
yeah.
great.
Oh,
But yeah,
fuck,
it's
man. Honestly, that though, imagine doing that on stage. I
yeah, fuck
like feel for those bands,
that.
man. Honestly, this one we played a gig in Cardiff. It must have been, well, it was about a year ago now, and our drummer, like we played a longer set than usual, and our drummer at the time, it was so hot there. Like even for me, I can't imagine how drummers feel, but even for me, I was dripping in sweat. And we get off stage, and my old drummer goes outside and fucking throws his guts up everywhere. Literally, from dehydration.
Yeah.
The bouncer comes over and he was like, "Oh, we need to get you out, mate." And we were like, "We just played a fucking gig here, man. He's the drummer in the headlining band. What do you mean?" So yeah, I get the feels on that when you're in venues, sweaty venues like that. It's the worst feeling, honestly.
Absolutely. And one question as well I wanted to ask is, when you're about, so sort of half hour before you're about to hit the stage, what's going on behind the stage and things? What's going through your head physically, emotionally, mentally? How do you prepare? How does the band prepare? Like, how is all that stuff for you guys?
It's probably not as fun for me as it is for the rest of the band. Because they can all just fucking drink and then get on stage. Sure. You know, they can have a few beers. Whereas for me, because I do the singing and the screaming, there's so much pressure on my vocals.
Yeah.
I can't smoke. I can't drink. Yeah. I'm outside for the last half hour making a tit out of myself in the middle of the street doing, and everyone's looking at me thinking, what the fuck is that guy doing? So yeah, it's not fun. It's more fun when you're on the stage and then when you get off and you think, right, I can have a beer and watch what other bands are on. But yeah, it's worth it. You know,
yeah.
It is worth it because I don't really get nervous anymore. I used to. You get that little bit of adrenaline, but once you get up on stage and once you start playing, you sat there and you're thinking, yeah, this is what I do it for. You know.
Yeah, it's why you're meant to be here. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. Obviously, if you've listened to the show before, you know what I'm going to ask you next, right? So. It's Dream Rider time, right? And for those of you who are uninitiated with what this is, right, I'll do the quick rundown. Basically, when Spotify, Apple, insert big brand, buys this podcast, I've got lots of lovely brand money. I'm going to make my own festival, right? Miles from Home are invited, along with all the different artists that have been on the podcast. And what I'd like to know is, because we've got unlimited money, it's the biggest fucking venue you can imagine, what would you like to add to the rider of said festival? You can go super like basic and be like water, like towels, all of those things, all the way to like the most extreme thing or to the most like niche thing you can think of. What would you like to have?
Do you know what? I might be one of those just simple guys.
There's nothing wrong with that. Some of the best are like, yeah.
Yeah. I think it would have to be just water and beers and, you know, anything I can get my hands on like that. I don't need too much to be satisfied. I'm one of those typical guys who can sit in a camping chair in front of the TV with no furniture. You know, I'm quite happy with just a bottle of water and maybe a beer.
Nice.
I mean, I say I'm quite, you know, quite happy to sit in a camping chair. I am sat in a camping chair right now. I moved into a new house last month. I still don't have a proper chair or a sofa.
Oh, bless you. Yeah.
I've got a wardrobe, so that's something.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I'm sat here in a campus chair. Yeah.
Nice. Brilliant. I love that. All you need now is a few beers. I see you were drinking the water earlier. You need a few beers and some music and you'll be absolutely well away.
I would love a few beers, but unfortunately I made a promise to my partner that I wouldn't be drinking until the weekend because she gets a little bit pissed off that I like my beer. Yeah.
Nice. I've got one final question for you, Matt, before I let you on your way. And thank you for coming on with your time today. And that is simply, what is the best thing about being in Miles from Home for you personally?
That's a tough one. That there's so many good things. I think, probably, I mean, obviously the music itself. I think my favorite thing about being in a band is the recording process. I find that very enjoyable. I know a lot of people hate it, but for me, I get so excited, you know, when I get a mix back or something like that. But in terms of my favorite thing about being in Miles from Home, it's probably, you know, I know it's very cliche to say,
Not at all. Whatever you're gonna say, it's not. Don't worry with the cliche. Yeah. It's your answer, so it's all good. Go on.
Okay. I was gonna say it is cliche. I'd say it's probably more that, you know, we're not a band that just do this as you know, acquaintances who sort of just like the same sort of music and the same sort of style. We do this as brothers, like you said, you know, as a band. It's not, I don't know, it's not just doing this because we're in a band together. Like, I feel like even if I wasn't in the band with the people that are in the band, I'd still be, you know, close friends with them. So that's probably my favorite thing about our band in general, is we're like, you know, a very tight-knit group.
And that's the thing as well, when you start, you know, touring and writing albums, and like all of the stuff that is stressful about being in a creative project, whether that be a band or whatever, you need those really tight like bonds to work, because they're the ones that are going to be stretched the hardest. When you're arguing over a guitar riff or the way that your vocal is or whatever, like, and again, it's just because you're passionate about the thing you're making. It's like when those things are kind of being pulled and kind of pushed, it's kind of like, at the end of the day, you are all like mates and brothers, and that makes perfect sense. I love that.
I'm sure we will end up punching each other at some point on tour. fuck you, man. Seriously. Yeah,
for sure.
But yeah, as far as I know right now, we're very good friends. We'll try and keep it that way.
Absolutely. What is ahead for 2020, end of 2023 into 2024?
Well, we're over halfway in writing our second album.
Amazing.
So we'll be looking to get in the studio either at the end of this year or the start of next year. Probably put out a single around May time, or May time, hopefully.
Amazing.
And that's when we'll hopefully be touring as well. April, that's the plan at the minute. So yeah, just touring, new music, and you know, trying to live the dream without looking at my overdraft too much.
Ah, fuck the overdraft, don't worry about it. Like, not to make this super depressing real quick, but like, I learned a while back that we all die, so it doesn't matter. Like, overdrafts and shit like that, it's all just material, isn't it? Like,
fuck it, man.
Literally.
If I can look back and remember, well, try and remember all the good drunken times I spent my money on alcohol, then, you know, it's fucking worth it.
Absolutely. Lovely stuff. Is there anything you want to say to the people listening and watching at home?
Keep watching the fucking podcast and check us out.
Lovely job. Lovely job. Matt, it's been a fucking pleasure, mate. We will catch you hopefully on the road, my friend. Until then, stay safe, stay cool, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.
Cheers.